I'm so delighted that you came. I'm a physics student at NC State, and these salons had a very peculiar history. I was a violinist from a long time ago. Started when I was 10 in 1965, and basically because I started piano at age 3 and I just wasn't very good at it. I kept on turning the wrong way in the chair, you know, grabbing somebody's viola and playing like a cello, so I took the hint, and I just really have always really loved string instruments more than anything else. And so when I started composition in 1972, and I realized that the most elegant solution to the many problems that composers face is to play your own stuff. Well, most composers are pianists, but I had this violin in my hand, so I said, well, why not write a whole lot of solo violin music? And then I could, you know, I was actually tried my hand at doing it as a busker. But I found out that playing solo Bach partitas and sonatas and my own music for a couple of hours on the subway was a great way to become extremely exhausted. it is a really hard way to make a living. So, and of course, there's always the legal aspects and complications. But it just felt right. It felt like a really wonderful thing to do. Luckily, when I started off, I didn't realize how hard it is to write for solo violin. It is a major, major challenge. And in fact, it took me many years to grow into the process of how to do it. So starting in 1975, I wrote a set of three or four sonatas. And in 1978 and 9, I was very much intrigued with yin and yang philosophy. And I wrote I figured, well, there are 64 changes in the I Ching. And if I wrote one movement for each change and kind of stuck them together into 21 sonatas, I'd have a hell of a lot of music, and I'd have a framework to put it in that would make it all make sense and have some cohesion to it. So I did that, and it took me about a year. And at the end of that year, the arthritis that had been more and more of a problem for me in my hips and back and shoulders finally got to the point where I couldn't hold the violin under my chin anymore, which was disconcerting because that was how I had planned to make my living. So I devised this was back in 1981. I mounted the violin on a camera tripod so I could kind of sit next to it and play away without having any of the mechanical problems. And that worked okay until my arm hurt. So once my arm hurt, well, that was the end. So I sold my violin and then put the sonatas on the shelf. And then after many adventures, in 1991, I figured, well, why not try it again? Why not try it again? And this time with an electric violin and more sophisticated setup, because I had been a kayaker. And in order to be a kayaker, I had to figure out a way of making the paddle weightless, because I couldn't lift it up. I mean, let's face it, if you have a 5-pound paddle in your hand, pulling like this all day, that's a very serious physical thing. So I had a system where I had a shock cord and a mast and a boom, and it was all swiveled and everything, so it was weightless. I thought, I could do it for a paddle, I could do it for a boat. Right? So I put a sling on my shoulder and had a clip, and it was all there like that there, and now I had a mask in the back of the chair. And again, I had a freestanding violin. And for 6 months, I could play again. So I thought, well, what the hell? Now I go back to these sonatas. So I went back to the sonatas, and I realized that, well, now that I could play them well, some weren't worth it. So I chucked out a bunch of them, sliced and diced the rest, wrote some new music, and I ended up with 16 sonatas. And just as the ink was dry, I underwent another personal catastrophe. Which ended up with my losing all my possessions. My landlord threw away all the, of course, this is back in the pen and ink days, 1991. All my scores that I had done in ink, camera-ready copies, for 19 years, landlord chucked them out. In the trash. So that was a bit of a trauma. And 11 years later, I found myself at NC State with actual housing, which was a nice change. And I got an old piano, and I said, well, you know, I had my physics as my day job, and it was possible for me to actually make music again. So what the heck? So in 2002, I said, well, let's try it again. So I made a six-string electric violin, had about a curved bow from France, so I could play five strings at once. It was really organ-sized, it was really quite wild. And for about a year, I could actually start to play again. But then, despite everything, my arm just couldn't take it anymore, and I had to quit again. But by the time I quit, I had gone back through these old sonatas, sliced and diced them, rearranged them, and wrote some new music. And I ended up with 11 sonatas. And I figured, I gotta quit now. This is an obvious trend here. So that was finalized. It's like it's set in stone. I got 11 sonatas, and that's it. Put them to bed. And then came what do I do with these things? And I had started using Finale as my copy work to do my copy work, which is a beautiful program. And over the course of the next few years, I learned how to coordinate that in with the MIDI and synthesizers and various programs, and so that I could get a decent demo tape at least as a synthesized version. The violin sonatas resist synthesis more than anything else except voice. It's really, really hard to take a solo violin and make an acceptable synthesized version of it. I gave it a shot, and in fact, I have some copies of that CD if anybody's interested, along with CDs of all my other music. But there is no substitute for live performance, and there's no substitute, obviously, in recording for an actual violin. So last fall, I had finished my fourth CD, and I had a big stack of scores, and I said, well, this is a critical mass. I can now start a little personal propaganda campaign. And I got a stack of manila envelopes, a bunch of CDs, and I started stuffing mailboxes. And one of those mailboxes was the mailbox of Eric Pritchard. And I was absolutely delighted that he tuned in to the frequency I'm operating at. And he sent me an email saying, let's do a concert. And best email I've had in years. And this is the result. This is the result. It's one learns as a composer, especially a composer unspoiled by success, that it takes a rare musician, a very high degree of perception, to appreciate a piece of music when it doesn't come from anywhere. You know, when the person giving it to has no awards, no commissions, no grants, no nothing. And when someone can see the quality beyond all that, that is the person that is the composer's dream. So I'm just absolutely delighted that we're having this concert tonight, and I hope that it serves as my introduction to this wonderful university, and I hope this is an association that prospers and lasts for many years. Thank you.